Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Well, we're really getting into it now. So much to talk about on the show. Crops are coming out, so pheasant and goose hunters are happy, even bow hunters too, since the deer can't really hide anymore. And we've been seeing a lot of deer activity lately. Almost hit many, many deer in the last few days. Ducks are flying, walleyes are biting, and from what I've been seeing in my Facebook feed, elk are cooperating. We'll talk elk and walleyes with Jamie Dittman from Brainerd, Minnesota. We'll also get a report from Joe Henry at Lake of the Woods. We'll be in the truck with Tony Crotty getting a migration report, and our old radio pal Doug Lear is back to give us an update on what's going on with roosters in North Dakota. Now, this week's show is brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Get the Lake of the Woods fishing report anytime at sportingjournalradio.com. And by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, now booking winter ice fishing trips in snow bears. That's right, you can stay warm and mobile in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. It's also brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, a duck and goose guide service in western Minnesota, with Tony Crotty and myself as your guides. First, though, we'll head to Montana by way of Brainerd and bring on Jamie Dittman. Jamie, how are things?
Good. Just packing up the truck, just put the boat in storage, and I'm rolling out in about 12 hours.
How do you feel about, I know you're excited about this trip and you're excited about fall, but how do you feel about the day that you put the boat into storage?
Well, with being so excited about elk hunting, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. You don't really
mind.
But
it's tough when it's 70 degrees today and sunny and the walleyes are still biting.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, out where I'm at in western Minnesota, there's been some big, big walleyes caught, and fishing has been pretty good, and I've been hearing about that from Lake of the Woods. I've been hearing about that from just about everywhere right now, and it sounds like in central Minnesota there, you guys have been catching a lot of fish lately.
Yeah, Gull Lake has still been going pretty good. A few of the other lakes, Whitefish Chain, and I know people that have been up to Winnie and other lakes have also been having a good fall bite.
And are they doing anything special, anything working better than other things?
Most guys are still using creek chubs and red tails. The guys at night trolling cranks are doing just fine. Number five Rapalas on top or inside weed lines, they've been getting some nice walleyes also.
You know, that's pretty hard. It takes a lot of dedication. You know, you fish this time of year, it could be 30, 40 degrees out there. It's definitely a little bit cooler, but to do that in the middle of the night, to do that when it's dark and cold out, you know, they must be catching some fish.
Well, the nice thing about Minnesotans is we all have ice fishing suits.
Sure.
So it's just getting ready for ice fishing.
That's right. Jamie Dittman, our guest, he's a fishing guide in the Brainerd Lakes area here on Sporting Journal Radio. And talking about the day you put your boat into storage, and it was a good year for the boat this year?
Yep, good year. Very busy guiding this year. Fish cooperated. We had a lot of great people in the boat. You know, tried a few musky lakes, few smallmouth. Got a little bit of everything this year.
You know, we've got so much water here in western Minnesota right now. The farmers are actually getting their crops out. They're doing pretty well. The fields are, for the most part, the fields are cooperating with them a little bit. There's definitely some wet spots that they're going to have to go around. But, boy, the rivers and the lakes, I mean, there's so much water in some of these lakes. It's there's some, like on Lac qui Parle, we were driving by Lac qui Parle the other day, and there's, you know, that lake is so rocky. There's places where rocks stick out of it. And as we're driving by, those rocks are all underwater. You guys?
Yeah, Mississippi's been booking. We were out there the other day, me and my wife fishing, and yeah, the current was going about 1.5. It was really ripping.
Wow.
And, you know, the water's so high around here, you've probably seen North Long on the TV.
Yes, that bog?
Huge piece of bog, and yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I read that actually crumpled up some docks.
Oh, yeah, crumpled up docks, boat lifts. People say it's about the size of 3 football fields, so.
Whoa.
There's trees growing on it. It's huge.
I saw the picture, and I looked at it. I'm like, man, are those trees in the middle of
yep.
it? But I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah, it's huge.
Wow. You know, and it's funny to think those floating bogs. I remember the first time I hunted off. In fact, I think it might have been with you
yep.
that I hunted off one of those floating bogs and broke through. And I was like, how deep is it here? Oh, you can't touch.
Yeah, and we moved some bogs this spring, too, out on North Long. And, yeah, they're hard to move.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you're not so upset about packing the boat away because you're going on a trip this weekend and you're heading out west. You're going to Montana to go walk in the mountains for a little bit. You're going to chase elk. First of all, how long are you going to be out there?
I don't know. Probably a week to 10 days, something like that.
Hopefully not as long if you get your animal right away.
Hopefully quick. I just put the boat in storage and the truck's already getting loaded with elk gear. I got my new topper lift on, so that'll be exciting. But I'm going to go out probably about 6 miles to where I hunted last year and camp for a couple days in tent.
Okay. Because last year, I think you actually put up one of those hub-style fish houses and slept in that, didn't you?
Yep. Last year, I stayed by the truck and did that. But after walking out 6 miles every morning, you're so beat when you do get on a herd of elk, you can't chase them because you can't get around them because you're too wiped.
Sure. Sure.
So I'm going to stay out there and it'd be kind of cool. It'd be a solo trip this year, so...
Go out and camp in the mountains by yourself. And I wanted to talk about, you said your new topper lift, and some people probably heard that and were like, topper lift? What the heck is a topper lift? Because you've got a new piece of equipment on your truck where you can camp right in the back of your truck. Tell us about this topper lift.
Yeah, I saw it last year down at the Big Bass Tournament on Mille Lacs, but it's topper easy lift. And it bolts in and your topper raises electrically 20 inches. And you Velcro in sides and a whole enclosure, so you got a camper. And it's just about tall enough for me to stand up in, and or you can load your gear up, you know, easily, load a four-wheeler in, and then put it back down. So it's a pretty slick way to get to access the back of your truck.
That's crazy. So I didn't even think about the four-wheeler application, but essentially it's some sort of frame that you bolt in, and then it's got an electric lift on there to lift the topper up from your truck bed?
Yeah, you just bolt in four actuators and it lifts it up simultaneously. And then a lot of four-wheelers will fit in the back of a truck if you can clear the back window.
Right.
So you could drive a smaller ATV in and then put it back down and don't have to haul a trailer then, because trailers always have more to break.
Sure. Yeah, we've had the worst luck with trailers and bearings and tires. So, yeah, when you can avoid trailers, it's always a plus. So that thing lifts up. You Velcro in some sides. You can put a little heater in there or whatever if you want to. Can you drive with it up like that, or do you have to pop it back down then when you move?
Nope, you got to put it down. It takes about 30 seconds to put it down.
Oh, it's not bad.
And you can just push in your camper sides and just go to the next spot and lift it back up.
Nice.
Plus, it's, you know, with a hard roof and stuff, it's a lot more comfortable than a tent.
Yeah, how's something like that supposed to hold up to weather?
Pretty good. It Velcros in top and bottom, so you still have a hard roof of your camper for waterproof, and they have insulated, non-insulated sides, and I'm pretty excited to try it out.
Okay, so you Velcro in some sides. What about rain?
It's basically a waterproof canvas material.
And
you would get some seepage around the Velcro if you have the rain the wrong direction.
But. Okay, that's what I was wondering. All right. Do they make something like some sort of rain fly or something you can put over the outside?
They don't, but it Velcros on the inside of your camp, your topper, so you have about 4 inches a ledge all the way around it. So it would be, you know, have to be more of a sideways rain to get in there.
Sure. Okay. Jamie Dittman, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's heading to Montana to chase elk. How many years have you been doing this now?
This would be my third year. You know, I've got a cow, I've got some mule deer, so now it's time to try for a bull and time to try it by myself once.
Yeah, you've kind of been working your way up to that bull, haven't you?
Yeah, it's taken some time, but I've seen a lot of cool things doing it, and I've learned a lot. And every year, a little better gear and a little more knowledge. So one thing this year with Montana, so much of the state burnt, I got my new chip. I use a chip a guy in Fargo makes, Kirsch Outdoors. And I talked to him last night, and he just updated my chip last night for me. And he put a new layer on the maps of all the burn areas.
Oh.
So that'll be really slick to have.
Nice. Nice. All right. So you're going over there for somebody. I know every time we talk elk here, I always ask you for advice for somebody that wants to take their first trip over there. Now that you've been doing it for a few years, what are you going to tell people?
Well, you know, I've talked to a few groups this year from Brainerd that's their first year out, and they've never went, and they asked me to come talk to them about what to do. The main thing is talk to somebody that's went. The main thing I always say is boots and your shooting ability. You know, practice longer range, and, you know, good equipment can make it or break it.
Yeah, I've seen you shoot. I hope you practiced a lot before you went over there.
I killed more grouse this year than you have.
That's true. That is true. I have not yet grouse hunted yet this year. But, you know, speaking of that, have you been seeing some rough grouse up there?
Yeah, you know, I was at my cabin last weekend getting ready for deer hunting, and I took a walk probably to my deer standing back, probably a quarter mile, and I shot three.
Really?
So they were around, and there was still some brush on, so the visibility wasn't the best yet, but
sure,
we've been seeing some grouse. The deer sign has looked good, so...
Well, that's good, because I don't get excited about rough grouse until later in the year when the leaves come down.
Right.
And but everybody's talking about numbers being up, and I've been seeing a lot of success from a lot of guys that have been walking the woods, so...
Yeah, that's my favorite, you know, of all time things to eat, you know. I just love grouse.
Sure, sure. Grouse is pretty good. Second best, pheasant, and fortunately, I've been able to eat pheasant the last few days, fresh pheasant. From our trip last weekend down to that Marshall area for the Governor's Pheasant Opener. We didn't see a ton of birds, but we were able to connect on a few of them. So
you shot one of the 23 bird shot?
I think we had 36.
Okay,
is what we were up to. It wasn't was not a ton, but yeah, we walked the first morning. We walked with 10 guys, and I think we shot three. But there was definitely three or four that got away from us that should have come home in the back of the truck. And then we went on a women's only hunt in the afternoon, and they actually had a pretty good time. They shot a bird and saw a couple of more roosters, and I had a pretty fun hunt. We filmed it for Prairie Sportsman, so you'll be able to watch it.
Oh, and we also get Prairie Sportsman's now in Brainerd.
Yes, on Lakeland.
Yep, I saw the commercial the other night.
Nice. Very good. That's that's great. So, yeah, Pioneer Public Television, of course, carries it. If you're up in Brainerd, Bemidji, northern Minnesota, you can get it on Lakeland. The Lakeland channel now, too. And then, of course, if you're down in that Austin area, Austin, Winona, Rochester area, you can get us down on the public station down there as well. And sounds like even more area coming for Prairie Sportsman. So I appreciate you watching it up there in Brainerd. Yep. Jamie, good luck on your trip to Montana. And, of course, if people want to jump in a boat with you, you're done guiding for the season now. But if people want to jump in the boat with you next year, how do they get a hold of you?
Just call S&W Bait or look us up on Facebook. And also this year, if you still want to go, Butch and Nate still have their boats ready. And they just won the big walleye tournament up here, so you can go with the winningest walleye guides.
Well, there you go. Very good. Well, we got more fishing reports coming up with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods, plus Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department talks roosters in North Dakota. And Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters has a waterfowl migration report for us as well.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, thanks for tuning in to Sporting Journal Radio across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com or by subscribing to the podcast in your iTunes. I'm Brett Amundson, and now we're going to head up and talk to our old radio pal, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Doug, how are things?
You know, not too bad. I tell you what, where we're at in fall right now, I think there's a lot of things that you can focus on as, you know, deer numbers and pheasant numbers and go, you know, it's just not what we're used to, not what we wish they were. But if you look around and you look for options, fall fishing, crane hunting, duck hunting, goose hunting, there's really the only limitations is maybe your own, I won't say imagination, but your own flexibility to try something different is I think you only limit yourself when it comes to spending time outdoors in the Midwest, T-Bone.
I'm jealous of the crane hunting that gets to take place over there. You know, I did go up to northwestern Minnesota this year and hunted cranes a little bit. I was more shooting with a camera than a gun this year, so I didn't shoot one. But I know my friends did, and we saw a ton of cranes up there this year. So I'm guessing it had to be a fairly decent year. They say there's close to 500,000 of those cranes are in that mid-continent population over there. So I'm guessing it's been pretty good.
You know, and I saw some of those pictures, and I love that, because I think when people open up their mind and try to experience new ways to enjoy the outdoors, not just because maybe the rough grouse weren't where you wanted them to be, or maybe not because you didn't draw a deer tag, but you know, whatever your reason for doing it, if you overlook sandhill crane, you're really only shorting yourself. I've hunted sandhill crane, and they are one of the toughest birds to hunt. Yeah. I mean, they're just so unpredictable, tough to pattern. And then once you get on them, they're not the easiest bird to bring down. They're not the easiest bird to decoy. And if you want to cook them up and eat them, you've got to take some special attention and take some different ideas into preparing that. They can taste very good. They can taste very bad depending on what you put into it. And we've had hunters that have done that this year, because our sandhill crane numbers have always been pretty strong, and this year the weather pattern didn't push the crane through real quick. In fact, we still had good, strong numbers of sandhill crane in north central North Dakota, even as recently as the last week. And typically, you get into central North Dakota, you get from, well, if you took a shoot from, you know, basically like West Hope, Botno, down to Rugby, down to Harvey, down to Steele, down to Linton, in that area, down through central North Dakota, we have a pretty good migration pattern for crane. And this year, the weather has kept them through nice and steady. And hunters that take an option of sandhill crane, you don't have the congestion or the competition. In fact, you know, you might be the only person in that township or in that area that's hunting and scouting sandhill cranes. So you can really increase your own level of hunting satisfaction by literally shifting the target from something that may be limited in options and numbers to something that has more opportunity.
I just think they're fascinating birds, Doug. And I know I always get the question, sandhill cranes? Why sandhill cranes? And, you know, I think they're neat birds. You're not going to go out there and you know, shoot a limit like you would mallards or Canada geese or anything like that. You get to shoot a couple of them or whatever. But they are, every crane I've had that I can remember has been delicious. And honestly, Doug, the last time we cooked them, my buddy Corey Loftler cooked one up for us, and he basically seasoned it and then cooked it medium rare on the grill. And that was about all. That was about all he did to it, and they were delicious. And then we had some different sauces to try with it, some sweet chili sauce, which I can put on just about. I think I could put it on my left shoe, and I would eat that shoe in three bites. So I think they're delicious, and they're just neat birds. The history behind them, the sound they make, the look that they have, I think they're pretty cool. And I interviewed a crane biologist, Greg Knutson, earlier this year too, talking about the Minnesota cranes. But of course, those cranes in the northwest corner of Minnesota are the same cranes that come up through the Dakotas, and they've been hunting. He said that there's been hunting seasons in, say, North Dakota and states like Texas for 60 years. So there's actually quite a bit of tradition hunting those birds.
Yeah, and as long as I've been hunting, they've been had open seasons in North Dakota. And you're right. Some of those folks like, you know, Greg Knutson that really appreciate what the sandhill crane are, once you get into hunting them, you do start to go, wow. I mean, these are just a unique bird to hunt, a unique bird to cook. And that, you know, I guess I'm not trying to, you know, to turn the sandhill crane into the total package, but they definitely deserve attention, and they've earned a lot of respect from a lot of hunters because of all of that.
Well, they are tough to decoy, and they've got incredible eyesight. So there is a definite challenge to trying to decoy cranes, and I don't know. They're just neat birds. Doug Lear, our guest, North Dakota Game and Fish here on Sporting Journal Radio. I didn't even mean for us to talk about cranes on the show this week, but it's kind of nice. I definitely want to touch on roosters specifically, and we'll talk deer. And we got just a couple of minutes here, and then we're going to have to take a quick break. So let's just hit up fishing real quick. I know everywhere in Minnesota, pretty much everybody I talk to, Doug, fishing has been on fire right now.
It's been really good, and no different in North Dakota. From the rivers to the lakes to the reservoirs, the walleye fishing, even the cat fishing on places like the Cheyenne and the Red River, I can personally attest that fishing this time of year, again, the weather hasn't been maybe your typical October waterfowl-type weather. You know, we've had some wind, but we haven't had necessarily the cool temperatures or the colder temperatures, and it's definitely been a fall where fishing has won, and walleye, catfish across the board has been really, really good. And there's no doubt it might continue to stay strong here for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've been seeing some big walleyes coming out. And one thing that's been interesting is not only has the fishing been good, and it seems like typically this time of year fishing is usually pretty good, but our water level here in western Minnesota is so high. Like the Minnesota River is rushing, and every field has got water in it. All the area lakes are up. The sloughs are up. I mean, are you seeing? I know the like South Dakota's real dry, and it seems like parts of North Dakota have been real dry lately. Until this year, some parts got quite a bit of rain. I know. What kind of water conditions are you seeing over there?
We're still pretty dry, and we had some nice timely rains in the backside of September to help replenish some of it. But you know, for fishing in terms of reservoir quantity, we're doing okay. You probably see more concern from some of the smaller sloughs and the smaller lakes that we've had that really were suffering from the duck. And that's kind of the same thing that the waterfowl hunters were running into. I mean, we've got the duck numbers, but some of those smaller sloughs completely dried up this summer. They got a little bit of rain, but then they still have some big long mud flats that you're having to work around to try to get into the decoying. So if you're planning to spend some time in central North Dakota, keep that in mind, that the water conditions are going to be pretty variable.
All right, more with Doug Lear coming up. We'll talk, maybe touch on waterfowl again real quick, and then we want to talk pheasants, because I have not heard, for the most part, I have not heard very good things about it in North Dakota. I want to find out Doug's opinion on it so far, and we'll touch on the deer, too, in the North Dakota state as well. Coming up here on Sporting Journal Radio Plus, Joe Henry's got a Lake of the Woods fishing report for us, and we'll go in the truck with Tony Crotty to find out how the waterfowl migration is faring in Minnesota. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for listening across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. I'm Brett Amundson. Our guest right now, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And we hit on it just briefly before the break. I want to talk about pheasant numbers in North Dakota, because I've kind of heard varied reports, mostly not good reports from North Dakota. But a couple of guys have found some birds. So I want to talk to Doug about that. We'll talk about deer. But first, let's talk waterfowl, because last couple of falls, Doug, it's been dry in the Dakotas. I know the northern half of North Dakota last year was pretty wet, but when you got further south, it really dried up, and South Dakota was really dry, and we had really wet conditions here in western Minnesota, a lot of flooded crop fields, flooded corn fields, and as a result, we ended up seeing a lot of mallards. Now, whether that was the same amount of mallards we get over here and they just stuck around longer because they had, these flooded cornfields that they liked so much, or if it was a result of dry conditions in North, we figured it was dry conditions in the Dakotas pushed some of the birds over towards us. And we're starting to see that again this year, Doug.
And I think you're probably spot on, because we've had some significant drought conditions throughout basically about three-fourths of North Dakota. And while we did get some much-needed rains the backside of summer and into fall, it really wasn't enough to replenish a lot of those wetlands that you'd see the ducks utilizing this time of year. So I think you're probably right. You're going to see a little bit of drift of waterfowl maybe switching over into western Minnesota. And when we talk about migration and duck numbers in North Dakota, our pre-hunt population is still very, very strong.
Sure.
It's still, even though it's not as good as it was 5 years ago, it's still very, very strong. So I want to make sure I qualify a little bit when I talk about the drought and the impact, because we're not seeing that in the number of birds for ducks and geese. We're seeing that changing up the field conditions. That's likely going to change up the migration. And I don't think any seasoned hunter is going to be shocked or surprised by that when you're scouting for waterfowl. You're definitely going to be looking for some of the big water in the fall time of year. And I still think, given where we're at on the calendar year, I still think we're setting ourselves up for some pretty good duck and goose hunting, moving forward. It's never a shock that some of our best waterfowl numbers in North Dakota, and I know it can vary from the Canadian border down to the South Dakota border, but it's never a shock if we have some of the best hunting opportunities during our deer season, which opens up in mid-November. So, you really get pulled a number of different directions, and I know you can relate to that,
oh,
too.
Man.
It's like,
yeah,
you know, there's
sure.
so many different things to do, and just because you're not duck hunting doesn't mean it wouldn't be perfect to duck hunt. Just because you're not walleye fishing doesn't mean it wouldn't be great walleye fishing. It's just a matter of, the narrow window of archery deer season prior to the rifle opener, button up against that rut. So you got to be pretty specific in what you're targeting.
There's so much to do. This is a tough time of year because you always feel like you wasted it if you didn't do one of those other things. And you're right. During the mid-November, early to mid-November, that's some of the best duck hunting of the year. That's my favorite time to go. And even into December, if you can find a place where the duck season is still open, sometimes that's just hands down some of the best. It's mallards generally, but it's sometimes some of the best hunting that you can do. And I've been pushing for Minnesota to stay open a little bit later. I'm hoping we'll finally see that next fall. Doug Lear, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. And, of course, North Dakota, always does have a good local population of ducks. It's a good breeding state with the prairie potholes in the grass. And, Doug, we're hoping that maybe this next farm bill, all signs are starting to point that maybe, fingers crossed, we could get, maybe a hefty amount of CRP acreage back in this next farm bill.
Well, you'd like to think that we've bottomed out. I mean, that's the reality. There's nobody that's going to say that they're completely convinced that we've bottomed out. But boy, you'd like to think we got to start going the other direction. And as you've done such a great job over the years, as well as helping hunters and anglers understand that if we're going to be adding conservation programs, if we're going to be adding CRP, if we're going to be adding funding to help, bring in the landowners are interested in it.
Right.
And it takes money to draw that interest from a level of, raising their hand to signing their name. And I don't think maybe we give ourselves enough credit in realizing that when you have an opportunity to tell one of your federal leaders, your senator, your congressman, that this is something that's important to me, and this is something that I'd like to direct our resources to, we have to. I mean, we just, we can't just talk on the radio about it. We can't just be driving in the pickup truck or sitting in the decoys going, man, you know, I don't see the CRP that we used to see. We just don't have the pheasant numbers that we used to have. I mean, there's a direct correlation to that. So you're absolutely right, T-Bone. You're absolutely right.
Well, speaking of pheasants, Doug, this is what I wanted to talk to you about, because I've heard of some guys, and normally even the guys that go out to southwestern North Dakota have no problem shooting limits. I know the joke was the last few years that, yeah, I got my limit, but I actually had a hunt all day versus being done right away in the morning, and that's the way it had been for quite a while. But even some of those guys hunting down there in that pheasant belt of North Dakota didn't shoot their limits this year.
Well, and we tried to tell people, I mean, with all due respect, you know, we told people that our preseason pheasant population was down statewide 60%. And if people weren't listening to us, if people didn't want to believe us, that was matter of fact. So again, the message has been, adjust your expectations. If, you know, if you got used to having a limit of pheasants by 9 o'clock in the morning, by 11 o'clock in the morning, and being able to miss pheasants and being able to hunt without a dog and being able to, you know, just walk a half hour here and 20 minutes there, you're going to be in for some, you know, some disappointing hunt. But if you were going out there and realizing that, you know what, I might be lucky if I get to shoot at a couple of birds, that I better make sure that I can hit them. I mean, that's the reality of what we're living in. And we understand as North Dakota Game and Fish is that we have generations of hunters that grew up with 4 million acres of CRP and that grew up shooting a five-man limit and an hour into the season. And that went on for not just a year. That went on for year after year after year. The reality is this fall 2017 pheasant season has been kind of what we were trying to tell people. We're not shocked or surprised. There's no upland game biologist going, wow, I just didn't see this coming. I mean, our preseason numbers were down 60%, and that's real numbers right there.
Well, what about guys that are hunting on the eastern side of the state? I mean, obviously, they don't see the numbers that they do out west, but there's definitely some pheasants in that southeast corner. There's usually a few pheasants down there. How are guys doing on this side of the state?
And again, it's not that much different. You know, same thing, you know, whether you're talking about southwestern North Dakota, south central, or southeastern North Dakota. You know, it's not like the pheasant all of a sudden, you know, turned into the whooping crane. But the numbers have definitely shrunk, and you can go out and you can find yourself a rooster pheasant. What you're going to end up doing is, you know, is walking a lot longer and maybe having a lot fewer opportunities. And probably it takes, you know, sometimes it takes guys getting out in the field to realize that. We can talk about it on the radio and like, okay, then once they get out there, like, oh yeah, you know, they were right.
Sure.
We're not finding the pheasants. There's still pheasants out there. I would say one maybe positive adjustment coming is the corn harvest has started.
Yeah.
And you know, typically once you start taking down some corn, you're gonna start seeing a few more roosters around there. So that's one variable that should be changing and improving some of the hunter reports
in
a few weeks.
Doug, just a minute left here with Doug Lear from Sporting Journal Radio from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Doug, what do you think is the cause? I know we had a hailstorm in June that we think wiped out a lot of our young birds, because I thought we had a pretty good hatch. We were seeing a lot of birds this spring, but obviously a lot of grass has come out. There's habitat questions, but what do you suppose is the determining factor here?
Probably one of the biggest X factors that we have in North Dakota this year for our pheasant numbers, again, beyond what we have for winter mortality, beyond what we've seen for loss of habitat over the last 10 years, is the drought, the severity of the drought. And in that real critical time in the peak hatch in that June timeframe, where those pheasant chicks needed that insect population to survive, and they didn't get that. And we saw that in our brood size numbers. You know, the number of chicks that survived definitely shrunk.
Sure.
That's a real key indicator that the drought played a big part of it. That's probably the biggest, and that hasn't happened for quite a long time. So for some biologists like myself, it was kind of a kind of a cold glass of water going, yeah, you know, we think so much and hear so much about the impacts of loss of habitat, which is real, the mortality in winter, which happens, and then you add on top of that the drought and the loss of production there, it's definitely, you know, it's definitely a triple play that's not winning.
Boy, you always hope for not too much rain, but boy, you got to get just a little bit of it. All right, Doug, time to get some emergency irrigators on all the CRP acreage next spring.
Good luck. Let me know how that goes for you.
Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department, I appreciate you giving us some time once again here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Always a pleasure.
Before we go, we got Joe Henry coming up
and we'll go in the truck with
Tony Crotty
on
Sporting Journal Radio.
Get on the
fish
at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, thanks for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Our guest now, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods, talking about fishing, of course, up at Lake of the Woods, even though he could be duck hunting, he could be grouse hunting, so many other opportunities up there as well. But Joe, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but this is such a tough time of the year because it's like, well, I want to do this. And fishing has been really good lately, pretty much everywhere, but I'm assuming Lake of the Woods, it's been on fire.
Well, you know, it's been good, but it's fall fishing, baby. I mean, if you're an angler, fall fishing is a great, great activity. I mean, those fish are putting on the feed bag. They're normally very healthy. The water's cooling down. Those fish are getting more active than they had been. I mean, it's a great time to go fishing. It's pretty out. You don't have the bugs. But with that being said, to your point, man, you get a lot of activities competing. You got grouse hunting, duck hunting, deer hunting. I mean, it's a tough time for an outdoors person. And, I'll tell you, Brett, you know, what's interesting about the fishing up at Lake of the Woods is that, you know, I was thinking about this. It's important to be flexible, to have success. And here's where I'm going with that. You know, I was up on the Rainy River this past weekend, and, you know, it wasn't a slam dunk. And what I mean by that, it had been a slam dunk. I mean, it had been to the point where everybody's going out catching walleyes in most parts of the river. I mean, everybody was catching fish. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you got different waves of emerald shiners that run up that river at different times. And all of a sudden, the shiners hadn't run for a few days. And, you know, consequently, the walleyes weren't really that prevalent. So what we did is instead of just traditionally jigging those fish, we actually trolled crankbaits in the river. Hmm. Because those fish were scattered and there weren't a ton. You know, we pulled back and forth through an area and ended up picking up some nice fish. But, you know, I think, you know, the other thing is when you go up there to Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River, don't be locked into one method. And what I mean by that is don't think that I'm going to jig in this area of the river, come hell or high water, and be stuck on it because you have different ways of shiners coming in. You know, in this particular case, there were more walleyes way up river by Clemenson and Franz Jeveny and Birchdale, which is east of Bedette, than there was down by the Wheeler's Point area. So that's changing daily. So it's just a matter of talking to the bait shops, talking to the resorts, paying attention to what you're catching, what you're not catching, and adapting. You know, the other thing is the lake. I mean, the lake has a ton of fish in it. And right now, you know, if the weather's decent, shoot on that lake, and there's huge schools of walleyes and saugers out there that you can still anchor up and jig with. And tell you what, fishing's been real good.
How's the water clarity been?
Good. It's been good. You know, we've had... when we have some windy days, that water in the lake will get a little bit dirtied up, but not to the point where you can't fish it. And same thing with the river. You know, we naturally have stained water anyway, but nothing that you couldn't fish. A little bit different deal in the springtime when you might be fishing the Rainy River and all of a sudden the Big Fork River lets loose and all the ice and mud and debris come down. Well, that makes it a little bit tough. That's when you go from you know, maybe a slam dunk on walleye fishing to picking at those fish at best. And but nothing like that in the fall. Nope.
So big keys are just to be able to be adaptable and be mobile. So if you can't tie in a gold jig and just sit in an anchor and expect to catch fish all the time.
Even though it's Lake of the Woods, it's still fishing, and you still have to pay attention. Yeah, I know. The funny thing is, expectations are all so high coming to Lake of the Woods that, you know, I talked to so many people. How'd you do today? Well, you know what? It wasn't a real good day for us. We caught 15 fish.
Yeah.
You know, most lakes you get 15 walleye. That's a pretty darn good day.
Right. Right, for sure. Joe Henry, our guest here, talking Lake of the Woods on Sporting Journal Radio. Just a couple of minutes left. Fall fishing obviously is great. And, you know, one of the cool things about up there is you can have some real successful cast and blasts, whether you're rough grouse hunting or duck hunting. Joan, I know, you get the waves of divers that roll through there. But I've also been hearing that rough grouse hunting has been pretty good everywhere. Are guys still finding birds up there?
They are. Yeah, grouse are up this year. And, the cool thing about it up at Lake of the Woods is that we literally have hundreds of thousands of acres of public hunting land. And not only do we have the public hunting land, but we have, really nice walking trails that are marked. We have ATV trails. We have dirt roads. We have accessibility to that land. And there's a lot of grouse out there. I mean, there's a lot of land. And, just a matter of, if it's your first time up grouse hunting, come on up, get a map, and just go out and start hitting some public hunting land. And you'll learn real quick the nicer trails, the areas that you get familiar with. And, those birds come and go. They're out throughout the forest, so they're all over the place. And tell you what, been a lot of people whacking a lot of grouse this year. They're having good success.
Historically, when do you think guys will be ice fishing up there?
Typically, we get our first day houses out usually around December 10th or so, that mid-December mark, give or take based on weather. But usually mid-December is when we get ice houses out, and that's when people start coming up and staying at the resorts. And tell you what, boy, if you can jump on that early ice, the resorts are not going to let you out if it's not safe. I mean, they really monitor that ice to make sure it's good to go. But if you can get out there early, it's usually pretty darn good fishing.
Well, that's not that far away. Joe Henry, if people want to come up there yet this fall or come up and book a winter trip, how do they find out more info?
All of our resorts, all of the information you need is at our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Now here on Sporting Journal Radio, we're going in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters. And Tony, we're driving around, we're scouting right now, we're looking for birds. We got a pretty busy weekend here with clients and clients this week. And so we've been putting on a lot of miles, burning a lot of fuel, and seeing some ducks out there.
Yeah, we got some birds around. A lot of them are kind of in flooded spots or ponds that are usually dried up or now wet, and it's a good time of year to be hunting ducks in Western Minnesota.
This would be a good time of year to, have a family member that works at Senex, right?
Yeah, for sure. We need to buy some stock and some oil companies for sure.
That's right. So a lot of time on the road scouting. That's one of the most important things in waterfowl hunting is you can't just go and hope that you're going to shoot a lot of birds. You got to find out where the birds are, what they're doing, and then go hunt them. So it's that time of year, though. It's getting to be kind of a fun time of year. There's a lot of crops coming out.
Yeah, the greatest time of year. It's just, can't help but get excited seeing all them combines out in the field, just knowing that the birds are going to find them before long, and that's usually when the goose numbers start to pick up around here for us, so it should only get better.
Well, I've been hearing some good things about north of us. We just talked to Joe Henry, and he was telling me that there's a pile of geese up in northern Minnesota. We had some strong north winds earlier this week, so hopefully we're getting some of those birds pushed down into our area. And then we also talked to some other guys earlier, talked to Doug Lear earlier in the show about the Dakotas, and it's something that you and I have talked about quite a bit on this show too, and the dry conditions at the Dakotas. South Dakota is pretty dry, and North Dakota is actually really dry. I know when we hunted North Dakota in August this year, we had just happened to go when they were getting 7 inches of rain or whatever it was, but for the most part, most of the Dakotas are dry, and we think that that's part of the reason why we're seeing so many ducks over here again this year.
Yeah, for sure. We kind of lucked out this year, like you said, it being wet here and drying the Dakotas. So Everybody that I know, you know, all sorts of other guide services and freelancers and just about everybody, they're shooting flooded stuff right now. So it's, I wish it was like this all the time.
Yeah, that's right. We're in the truck with Tony Crotty from Mid-Migration Outfitters on the Lac Parle area Duck and Goose guide service. And they got some openings. We've got some openings. I guide with them too. You can come out and hunt with us here this fall. And it's kind of interesting because, Tony, you have a fleet of boats, a fleet of duck boats. And, you know, here we are basically a month into the season. You've yet really to put one of your duck boats and your duck blinds on your boat out into the water in action this year.
Yeah, it's been an odd year. You know, this time last year we ran all sorts of hunts out of the you know, the boats on bigger water, and this year, like you said, we haven't even put them in. And actually, that was part of what I was doing today, is getting blinds put on them, just knowing that soon here we'll be chasing them out on the big water. But it's been an odd year, but it's been good.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna complain about the weather that we've been having, as long as we got birds around, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been at least the last week, it's kind of been warmer than usual, but you know, yeah, as long as we have birds, then it's not really affecting us. But a lot of times what happens is when it's this warm, then birds will get real scattered and we'll be light on birds, and it makes tough for real tough hunting.
That right there, which you brought up, is probably something we probably should have talked about more this week on the radio show, because you and I have both had conversations with people in this past week about duck hunting conditions right now, and even goose hunting conditions right now. With all this water that we've got here in western Minnesota, you can't necessarily go and check out a pond or, you know, a big body of water and just glass and say, okay, that's where all the ducks are. Because when you have all this water, they're hiding in a lot of spots, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of just, you know, being in the right place at the right time, or, you know, kind of like you did earlier today when you were scouting, you know, you look for a drown out on your Google map and stop and listen and hopefully hear some quacking from some mallards out there. So it can be kind of tough to find them, but usually when you do find them, it can be pretty rewarding.
You just gave away one of my secrets. Come on, Tony.
Yeah, well, yeah, not a secret anymore.
But that's right. I mean, that's some of the things that you have to do. You know, it's a little trick that you can do, especially when you're hunting a vocal bird like mallards is if you know there's some areas that are flooded that you can't see, or a pond that you can't see. Even with geese, I know that we've done it in areas where it's kind of hard to scout because of standing crops or hillsides or whatever. Use your ears, because especially geese, they like to make a lot of noise. So scouting is so important, and sometimes you scout with your ears. We're in the truck with Tony Crotty. We're wrapping things up right now. Tony, you got some openings for guided duck and goose hunts yet?
Yep, some openings still available for both ducks and geese, so just get a hold of us, shoot us a phone call or go to the website or email.
InMigrationOutfitters.com. Tony, thank you very much. Also, my thanks to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. My thanks to Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department as well. And, of course, Jamie Dibman. Jamie, good luck elk hunting. This week's show been brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters. Go to MidMigrationOutfitters.com. Lake of the Woods, get that Lake of the Woods fishing report anytime at our website, or go to LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com. They're booking ice fishing trips. Or if you want to go to North Dakota and fish out of a snowberry, you can check out Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Go to HayBaleHeights.com. Thank you for listening. Find out more at sportingjournalradio.com, and make sure you take some time to spend some time in the outdoors this week.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.